Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 331, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into American shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Exercising's Overrated. My body is old as fuck. Damn it, only stretching. Damn it, no plunges. I don't give a fuck now. I agree with Trump. We have limited heartbeats. That is a last resort Papa Roach, aka from E. Seagerful 1229. In reference to some advice I shared that I recently got from my personal trainer, Donald J. Trump, that maybe exercise is bad. But once you get old, exercise hurts, and maybe we do have a limited number of heartbeats. And you don't
want to
waste them.
Bro, you got 10 reps per muscle. Be careful.
Yeah, that's it. You only got 10 reps. That's each
don't
muscle.
Waste them.
That's
don't
right.
Waste them.
I got 10 curls per bicep for my lifetime. That's what I've been given. Anyways, that voice, you ask, that voice, that lovely voice coming all the way from Paris. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our second seat by a very special guest co-host, talented writer, stand-up comedian, advice columnist, podcast host. Please welcome to the show the brilliant and talented Sophia Alexandra!
Thank you. Thank you so much. So excited. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I don't have an AKA.
That's okay. That's no problem. You're coming to us all the way from Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the
I'm
pronunciation.
I'm full of so much motherfucking cheese. You are not ready.
I could tell by the way you the Paris that you've just been walking through clouds of cigarette smoke for the past couple days, and that's how you know you're doing it right.
Oh, yeah, man. Delicious, man. Baguettes with cigarettes in the middle. That's what I have for breakfast every morning here.
Yes. Well, we are thrilled, Sophia, you and I are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented writer, stand-up comedian, podcast host of the Bechdel Cast. Taking down the patriarchy one movie at a time. They also happen to have a master's degree in film. Ever heard of it? Film?
Specifically screenwriting, but you know. Uh-huh.
I thought it was pronounced Hilm.
Hilm?
It's pronounced
film.
Cinema?
Cinema?
Oh, I am familiar, if you say it like that.
How you say cinema? Also, the most anagrammable name in the English language. It is Caitlin Durante!
Bonjour!
Bonjour, oui, oui.
Bonjour. I'm not in France,
AKA
to be clear.
Dracula. Yeah. AKA Latin Dancer UTI. Mm-hmm, sorry. Mm-hmm, I do mm-hmm. have to add that just so people know. When we say your name is anagrammable, we're not fucking around here. All right.
Lauren D. Titanic.
Lauren
Hello?
D. Titanic. And we do have a
That's
Titanic story.
Crazy.
Yes.
Because I know the story of Kaylin and Titanic has just yes. been, it's one line. It's a single line. Yeah. It's not a Venn diagram. It's just a line.
Yes. Exactly.
So the fact that the name is anagrammable, so I'll kill myself tonight. I don't care.
Wait,
we
what?
Can all rest finally, like this is, knowing this that. Is,
yeah, this is the apex that we could reach as a society. Is this?
Yeah, no, yeah. It is. It doesn't make sense how anagrammable your name is, but it is perfection. Mm,
thank you.
How are you doing, Caitlin?
Oh, I'm just fine. The end.
What super classy European city are you in right now?
Well, I am in the classically beautiful European city of Los Angeles, California, but oh, I actually will it. Be in
J'adore.
Europe. Not to blow all my plugs at the very top here, but I will be in Europe in Paris, okay, doing stand-up comedy and seeing Hans Zimmer in concert. Thank you so much. And
wow.
After that, I'm going to Berlin and Copenhagen and Dublin, and then the UK for a Bechdelcast tour. So everyone should come and see me. I'm doing stand-up and or Bechdelcast shows in these places. So
that's amazing.
Go.
Caitlin, when are you going to be in Paris? Just in case any Paris listeners are listening.
That's you're so right to ask me that. I will
the
be...
Parisian vibes of this podcast, by the way, are
oh my gosh, croissant,
le charts.
I will be in Paris in early May. The dates are, I'm going to say like May 6th through the 9th or 5th through the 8th or something like that. I have all of the dates for all the shows I'm doing on my website, caitlindurante.com/shows. So all the info is there.
Thank you so much for sharing. I hope everybody comes to see Caitlin.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God. And Berlin.
Wow. Berlin.
Have either of you done comedy in France or Germany? How you say Germany?
Oui, I've done comedy in Paris and I've done comedy in Luxembourg.
Ooh.
I recently learned that the movie from the podcast Blank Check, that the movie Green Book, the Academy Award winner Green mm-hmm. Book, is a massive hit in France.
Like, interesting.
They love
it. So is Jerry Lewis.
I know. What is
this
is my question. I'm nervous for you both going into the French comedy scene armed with like your vibes are not very Green Bookian, I would say.
I take that as a major compliment and I appreciate that. This will be my third time doing comedy in Paris. Huge brag for me.
I mean, goddamn.
Noise.
The first time I did it, actually, it might be the fourth. I don't know. I've done it a bunch of times. One of the times I did it, it was on a boat that I swear the boat was called Savage Garden.
Yes.
Which is the name of an amazing, incredible band that we all know and love.
Yes.
And I did that.
That fucking rules.
It was
little known
so
fact,
fun.
Actually, that band is named after the boat.
Yes.
Oh
of
my
course.
Gosh.
All their songs were recorded on that boat. Yeah.
Just like how I'm starting a band called Titanics, Lauren D. Titanics.
Lauren D. Titanics.
Family Time Band named after the boat.
That's right. Amazing. Well, I do not fear for either of you. I fear for the city of Paris because they're going to catch some sharp comedy, you know. Wow. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. All right, Caitlin, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a
it's
moment.
Like, did my grandfather, Joe Biden,
sharp
just
comedy.
Plug my comedy show? That's Caitlin's thinking
Caitlin's
right
got
now.
Got sharp jokes that are going to cut you. Anyways, I know how it goes. You put the razor blades in the rain jar. Anyways, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. Major upsetting news out of Baltimore early this morning. The Francis Scott Key Bridge fucking just collapsed. So we'll just talk about that briefly and also check in with cable news because they are having a literal field day. They're just, yeah, the Fox News has some theories about this bridge collapse. So we'll check in with that. And we'll also talk about the fact that we don't understand the universe and never have, question mark.
And never will.
And maybe never will. That, like, according to the Jim Webb telescope, you might know it as the James Webb, but we're pretty tight at this point.
You're like, headline, all of us on the universe saying, what?
Huh, do what?
Qua?
Yeah, literally the entire astrophysicist
just trying to be inclusive.
Community all got together and said, do what? When looking through the Jim Webb telescope and discovering that it's not telling us what we thought it should be. Things are expanding at irregular rates. Might be no Big Bang is the gist. The Big Bang might be a thing somebody just made up. And like, this is not
it's
what
a television show on CBS.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Okay. Me and young Sheldon are so mad right now.
It was Big Sheldon that put this conspiracy out there. And it was all to for that sitcom. We'll talk about the Diddy raids, maybe. Maybe we won't. I don't know. We'll talk about the Titanic door that Kate Winslet floated to safety on.
Are you kidding me? With the fucking premier expert on Titanic on the pod right now?
Do you believe it? This might be the only story we talk about, to be honest with everybody. Yeah, but it sold for over $700,000 at auction, along with other movie memorabilia.
Yeah, I bought it.
Yeah, so
it was
flex.
Me.
All of that. Plenty more. But first, Caitlin Durante, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay. Well, obviously, I'm looking at Shrek stuff. And I found out, I think someone told me, someone DM'd me on Instagram and told me about something called Shrek's Adventure, which is like I don't think it's quite a theme park, but it's like some sort of attraction in London. And I will be going to London on said Bechdelcast tour. And we're doing the Shrek-tanic tour, aka we're covering Shrek and Titanic on this tour. So I have to be going to Shrek's Adventure. And then that sent me down a rabbit hole. And I discovered that there's a whole section of Universal Studios in Singapore called Far, Far Away. So there's a whole Shrek theme park, basically. And so I just have to go to all of these places. So I was just Googling and doing some research, looking at the photos. And so that's my recent search history.
I'm wondering if Shrek is popular in France.
Is it in any way comparable to the other live experience that has been getting a lot of press recently? And that the man who put on said it, quote unquote, ruined his life.
Oh, thought you were doing a roundabout plug of Caitlin's live show again.
No, I was talking about that Willy Wonka man that truly ruined people's lives.
Yeah, the fire fest of
exactly
children's attractions.
Media.
Yeah. I mean, not according to the website, it is not similar, because these families in the photographs look very happy taking a picture next to a man in a Shrek rubber mask in front of Big Ben.
I think that's actually Shrek.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, my bad. Next to Shrek himself in front of Big Ben, just look and waving at somebody in the sky off in the distance.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm going to that and I'm going to have the best time.
Yeah.
Will you wave to the sky for me, Caitlin, when you go?
Of course.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Shrek. I feel like mileage may vary based on what country you're in, but Shrek is universal and international.
Literally a property of Universal.
Yeah. And that's what I was
How much more
about.
Universal could you get?
Right. I actually just went to Universal Studios with my kids for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
On Saturday
Isn't
morning.
Pretty and great. Did you go to the
fun.
Mummy ride?
We hit the, like, it was pouring rain out. Highly recommend that. Go while it's pouring rain, because then the lines are very short. And we hit the Simpsons ride.
Nice. Did you go to Waterworld, the show?
No, we had to, like, leave right before everybody
was going to Waterworld. That's fucked up, because that's the best.
I know. But the theme, the concept of Waterworld, I was explaining it because I thought we were going to have time to do it. I was explaining it to my kids.
And oh my God, imagine hearing that and not going.
Yeah, my six-year-old, like 2 days later, was like, what was that movie? What was that world you were talking about where everything's like, there's no land? I was like, son, you're talking about Waterworld. And I can tell you are of me and mine kind, because yes, that I remember when that shit came out, man. Like, oh my God, I was so excited.
It's
like,
so wild that
wait,
you're
the world this up. Is water.
It's water world. It is wild that you're bringing this up, because this is very relevant to my overrated.
Oh no, let's we'll go right there. To your overrated.
If it's Caitlin, water world the ride, I will again. I've already promised to kill myself once. This podcast not make me go there again.
Which is you're reaching your you're almost halfway to your average for appearances on the Daily Zeitgeist.
It's true.
It is not Waterworld. It's not even a ride. It's a show. It's an experience.
And, it is, an
and therefore,
experience.
Well, actually, this is not my overrated, but I do kind of think it's overrated, because I don't want to watch a show. I want to be a part of it. Get put me on a Waterworld ride, you know. But
you will get splashed, Caitlin, and then you're a part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess my actual overrated is Kevin Costner.
Wow.
Fair. Yeah. That's
the
fair.
Cost.
I hate him so much. I deeply, deeply hate that man. I don't know how he is as a person. I don't know what his politics are in real life, but him as an actor, I can't stand him.
Same.
Sorry to everybody who's obsessed with Field of Dreams. I think that movie's overrated. Everyone's going to come for me and slaughter me, probably. But there, I said it. I think he sucks.
Okay, say more. I want to hear more.
I don't think his politics are great. I think you can feel okay about that. I think
he looks like his politics are not good.
Yes.
So yeah. We're not like shocked about it.
He actually like really tried to be a leftist, and like his like every time he looked in the mirror, he's like, no, this doesn't work.
Like, no one is gonna accept me. everything.
Like, I could just like, you could plant me in a field and a fucking country club would sprout up around me. You know? Like, I just look like that. I look so Republican.
You can't get around that Republican face.
No.
It's just, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's not even given moderate face. You know what I mean? That's like Bruce Willis. That's like, okay, he's a moderate.
Yeah, he seems pissed off enough about certain things.
Kevin Costner is just straight Repub face. That's what we're looking at.
No, piece of shit. Kind of knows it at some level that like gives him gastrointestinal distress, but ultimately his conscious mind is not aware that he's a complete piece of shit, and his politics are like constructed to prop up some idea that he's not a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I need to know though, Caitlin, other than Field of Dreams, least favorite Kevin Costner movies?
I mean, I also don't like the movie Waterworld.
It's not the experience.
It's right. The experience is actually better than the movie.
It really is.
When you take a like spectacle movie and like spend so much money on it and it doesn't work, and then you just take the main actor out of it and like put a bunch of stunt people on a live stage to do it in front of you, and like that stands the test of time, there might be something with your there might be a problem with your casting on that first.
Yeah,
you know, right. They're just like, what if like the, you know, Kevin, what if Waterworld except no Kevin Costner?
Yeah, what if he wasn't there?
yeah,
I honestly would maybe like it better than I don't buy him at all as a romantic lead in The Bodyguard. Mm-hmm. I don't like the whole narrative around Dances with Wolves. I've never seen Yellowstone, but I'm sure I'd hate it.
Oh, it's
his Robin Hood. Okay, no, give me Robin Hood Men in Tights any
thank
day.
You
I don't want this like serious
there's something There's something about him that is really convincing as an athlete. And like, that's why I do like him when he's playing an athlete, including in the Robin Hood movie, because he's just like a guy who's really good at shooting arrows. Like, that's all he really is. But I think like his charisma is the same as a great athlete, which is like, there's not much there. Like, they've just been never had to like develop a personality. So that's why he's so convincing as that is like, he just has, it's like if you had an athlete act in a movie, like that kind of feel like you always feel like you're kind of getting an interview with a baseball player after a baseball game. And like,
just, it's like if Travis Kelce had like an extra minute after this.
Yeah. If Travis Kelce was like slightly more boring, you know?
Yeah. He did this, like, he presented some award at a couple Oscars ago. It might have even been like the 2023 Oscars. Anyway, it was like drivel. I don't know what he was saying. He had no charisma. Might have been for Best Picture. I don't know. It was something and it was awful. And he's not good at talking. And I hate his whole thing.
This whole vibe. Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay. I'm really scraping at the bottom of the barrel here because I've just been on this show so many times and I'm running out of things.
Brag. Flex.
But yeah. I do think this is true. I think that Crispix cereal is very underrated. That's right.
Crispix with an X.
Are those the little hexagons?
Yes.
I was going to say octagon, but there's no way they're octagons.
They don't have eight sides. Hexagons.
Yeah, they have to have six sides.
Honestly, yeah. Caitlin.
What?
I'm not a fan.
They're good.
Counterpoint. They're good.
Fair.
All right.
You need
corrected.
You need to spice them up with some, you know, sugar and milk.
Yeah, yeah. Or, they're not sugary enough, but they have a very unique consistency. Very unique mouthfeel.
They do. And sometimes I'll just like eat them as a snack instead of like eating chips. I just want something
they
like dry and crispy.
They go hard dry. Yeah.
They go pretty hard dry. And they're very good in like a party mix. So everyone's all about that Chex mix. No way. No how.
Crispix mix.
It's about Crispix mix.
Crispix mix.
Crispix.
St. Crispix
yes.
mix.
Christmas Crispix mix.
Mm-hmm. I always make it at Christmas time. So
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin's special Crispix, St. Crispix, Crismix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I really do like it with milk, too. They stay crispy longer than most cereal.
It's in the name. Crisp.
They're not fucking around.
They really deliver on that name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, but like, it's how there's like, okay, so oat squares also do this thing where like they stay crispy on the outside, but they get like just the right amount of mushy on the inside. And I feel like the number one thing in your cereal is you have to find out that right like consistency for you when it gets milk on it. Mm-hmm. And I always want there to still be some crispies left. So I don't know. I might fuck around. I'll throw some berries in that bitch.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. They're versatile.
Oat squares are a bit heavy, a bit dense for me.
You can't have too many. You cannot have too many.
Do not overdo it with the oat squares. Quaker oats.
You think
squares.
You can handle two cups.
They've
bitch.
Got a
you
nice
cannot.
Subtle sweetness. I'm a fan, but yeah, don't bite off more than you can chew with Mm-mm. that. Whereas Crispix, Crispix also like they turn into these little like milk gushers, you know?
Yeah.
Like the milk like kind of gets
center.
All over. Yeah, it's really nice.
Milk gusher.
I really like this underrated. Right?
Thank you.
This is all very gross sounding. You get a nice milk gusher in there. But anyways, great, overrated, and underrated from one of the greats to ever do it. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about a fucking bridge collapse, for God's sakes. Jesus Christ. We'll be right back.
Fucking seamless.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to the best one yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to the best one yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
And we're back. And as a former guest said, the trademark of the show, hurtling changes of pace and tone. We're going into just a horrible tragedy in Baltimore early this morning. The Francis Scott Key Bridge, the one from season 2 of The Wire. I remember them sitting there looking at it. I believe the quote from Frank Sabatka is fucking beautiful. It's fucking picturesque is what it is. But anyways, that bridge collapsed after it was hit by a container ship, which sent several vehicles plunging into the water below. An unknown number of workers were also on the bridge repairing concrete ducts at the time of the crash. It's truly like the video is, I mean, if you turn on CNN right now, when you're listening to this on Wednesday, it will be playing. Like, they are just playing the shit out of this thing, but it is really staggering, just the violence and speed with which it collapses. There is a detail from the story. Two people were rescued from the water after the ship hit a pillar supporting the bridge, and like two of the people survived, like were found rescued from the water after the ship hit a pillar. So one was in good condition and refused treatment, and the other was seriously injured and was being treated in a trauma center. But like the person who was on that bridge and landed in the water and was just in good condition and refused treatment is one of the craziest things that I've ever just like incidentally come across in the news.
Especially the water has to be so cold.
Yeah.
You know who it had to have been? Because I was trying to like play in my head, like when I read this news, like who could it have been?
Rose from Titanic.
Bruce Willis in Unbreakable.
Yes and yes.
The two.
I was thinking my grandfather, because this motherfucker hates hospitals, hates doctors. Like, I mean, he's dead now. I'm talking about him like he's still here. Well, he is. But what I'm saying is, like, you couldn't have paid him if he survived falling off a bridge. He's like, okay, I already had something terrible happen to me once today.
Yeah.
Now you're going to take me to the hospital? That's the second terrible thing. No fucking thank you. So I think that's the only kind of person that would refuse treatment at that point. Someone that is so anti, like, going to the hospital, for whom it's such a, that's a no for me, that they're like, I don't know, I'll brave hypothermia. Let's fucking, let's roll the dice on this, you know? Mm.
Refused treatment really does give, like, they do not want their body studied by science vibes to me. But yeah, it's a horrifying story. Obviously, something that we've been noting of late is just whenever there is a piece of news that is getting a lot of people's attention, it immediately just starts being flooded with conspiracy theories. And it's not just the internet at this point. Obviously, we talked about Kate Middleton, like the Shohei Ohtani thing, best baseball player in the world. His translator was fired for gambling. It's like, you know, I can see where there would be some suspicion, but people immediately were like, oh yeah, no, this person has a massive like gambling problem and like it's over for them. And like in the case of this bridge collapse on Fox News, first of all, Maria Bartiromo was asking the important questions like, will this disaster that people are still being rescued from make inflation worse? She raised that question and then asked if it was somehow caused by migrants and Biden's wide open border. And then on.
Okay, Jack, is that not what you thought right away?
Oh, okay, that wasn't your first thought? Okay.
Okay, way to lie about it.
Well, no, first I haven't
off,
gotten to.
Bridge collapsing? That is migrants.
That's migrants. Okay. Obviously, they need a bridge to get here. And yeah. Matt Schlapp did the other thing that was obviously all on our mind and blamed COVID lockdowns for.
Well, yeah, that just makes sense. Yeah.
First thing's the virus. Attacks the libtards. Second thing it attacks is the pillars of a bridge.
Thank you.
Prove me wrong. Yeah. Science.
But there is like, you see the lights on the boat go out and people, and apparently there was it issued a mayday just before the collision, and that allowed bridge operators to halt traffic and potentially save lives. But people online are like, and that's proof that it was a cyber attack, probably from China. So we don't know, but people are wildly speculating, as we are wont to do these days, because bad universe. Hey, speaking of bad universe, we don't understand the universe and never have.
Speak for yourself, Jack.
Yeah, we understand it perfectly.
Okay,
Caitlin and I were just like taking notes because we were like, this is too easy before this pod.
Too easy. So there are a handful of things that I thought I knew about theoretical astrophysics. Like, so you got your gravity, right? You got your light, you got your speed, theory of relativity, I don't totally have a grasp on, but like I know that like maybe time and space and speed like affect one another. And then the
you
universe
just need
is
to watch Back to the Future a few more times.
Yes.
Watch Interstellar a couple times and then you'll get it.
The important speed barrier is not the speed of light. It is 88 miles per hour. And that is the point at which you can start warping speed.
That's right.
Or time. But the one that I thought I knew was like kind of a basic one. Doesn't really make sense to me. Never has. But the universe is expanding, right? We knew that because it started by Big Bang, right? Those are like two of the core ones that I feel like I had trusted them on. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out they fucking lied to us, you guys. Now, they're just like... So they had this theory, everything was kind of expanding at a constant rate, and then they would look in the Hubble telescope and they would be like, except it doesn't, like when we point it there, it's not going the same speed as when we point it over there. And they were like, but that's probably wrong. We're just like not pointing it correctly. But now...
I could never be a scientist, because immediately I would be like, I'm not doing it right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wrong.
But that's like, they've had evidence for years that like they weren't, but they were like, no, we just fucked something up, because it's such a sort of load bearing assumption. Like the whole thing was like Big Bang leads to expanding universe. But for their previous model to be true, it seems like they needed everything expanding at the same rate. And they got, so now they got the super duper high def kind of James Webb telescope picture of deep space. And they, that also said, hey, not expanding at the same rate. They were like, we're going to keep assuming it is. Finally, they checked James Webb against Hubble, like locked the data together. And it seems like all doubt has been taken out. It is no longer, you can no longer say that the universe is expanding at a constant rate.
But it is still expanding at an inconsistent rate.
Yeah, it's expanding at an inconsistent rate.
Okay. Nobody,
so this is the thing. It's this paper was published by the same assholes who did the dark energy thing. Have you heard about the dark energy?
I love that you have an agenda and like a list of people you hate. And you're like, it's these motherfucking assholes again.
Yeah.
No, wait, what's dark energy?
Dark energy is like the mysterious force behind the universe's accelerating expansion. Like they're like, well, none of... So basically they like did the math and they were like, none of this makes sense unless we create this invisible force that we haven't really found yet. We'll call it dark energy, and they won a Nobel Prize for that. Basically, they are like geniuses of making me recognize that I know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thank them. I'm extremely good at knowing nothing. So they're really like kind of hitting my sweet spot. But yeah, so now their paper states, with measurement errors negated, what remains is the real and exciting possibility that we have misunderstood the universe.
Motherfucker, that's the possibility and reality I'm living every day.
Yeah.
Give me something to cling to. Are you serious right now? Also, yeah. Okay, to expose my own lack of knowledge, how does this in any way relate or not relate to string theory?
I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Don't know what that is.
Really? Okay, so we're all stupid. Great. I love yes. that for us.
But I can't even, like, no matter what rate the universe is expanding or not, and however it's consistent or not, I can't even wrap my head around that, because what is it expanding into? Like,
exactly.
More universe.
But what?
I know. Like, I know.
This
it
is
doesn't my the, like there was nothing and then the universe expanded into it. Like, I don't get that.
This
I'm not
is
denying
the question
it's
my
true,
kids
but
are constantly like my kids turn
I
into
sweet,
like
beautiful dummy. I not meant to understand.
Yeah.
I smell flowers. I pet dog. I write. Yeah. I make dumb podcasts.
We're good here.
Also, the other thing I cannot really wrap my head around is like, so because we are here on Earth, unless you've got listeners in Mars, I don't know.
But like, we're all these weirdos, am I right?
These migrants from Mars,
am I right?
Collapsing our bridges,
Mars grins.
Yeah, Mars grins.
So we, you know, live on this. We're all pulled down by Earth's gravity, and so like, I'm like, oh, I have to go somewhere. It's forward or backward or to my side. But what I never quite can comprehend is that like in the universe, like exactly above me, like however many light years, there's like other solar systems. And then exactly below us is other solar. Like, it's just happening in all directions. I don't
get that
it.
Can't be true. Nah, it's, that's too big.
It's not to make you feel bad, but I totally get it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In no fucking way do I get it. The more we talk about how big the universe is, the like more I want to hyperventilate.
It hurts my feelings.
It really does. Have you ever had this feeling? Okay. If, like, you're at the beach and you're like looking down into sand and you're like going really in it and you're seeing how fucking much of the sand is made up of how many different things, and you're seeing all of the different little grains for what they are, and then you start realizing how much sand there is, not just at the beach that you're at, but in general, and you just start feeling sick, because that happens to me.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
It's too much. It's like that... too beautiful, and I'm only looking at a little bit of sand, and I'm like, I cannot.
I have an existential crisis anytime I really think about anything. It's like the end of Men in Black when like it pulls out and it pulls out and it pulls out and you're like, oh wow, it's the Earth, and then we're like pulling out even further, and then it turns out the Earth is just one of many, or like even the galaxy is one of many marbles that these huge aliens are playing with, and I'm like, that is probably what it is.
Right.
I'm like literally getting hot. Like, you can see me getting pink because like, this is too much. And like,
our little human brains simply cannot comprehend it.
I had that thought when I was younger. Like, what if we're just like a little bit, little like tiny thing, you know, like, because when you get down to the quantum level, it's like so chaotic and like you can't look, you can't really tell what's going on down there. So what if we're just like down at the quantum level of something much bigger? Yeah.
I think we all deeply do feel inside us that we are. And I think that because may be what's so unsettling about like acquiring enough knowledge or brain to actually comprehend even a little bit of that reality. That's when you're like, oh, now I'm fully like fucked.
Yeah.
Because like this is too much to comprehend. Mm-hmm. But I do want to say, like, the sand thing always, not always, but a lot of the time freaked me out to the point where I'd be like, okay, this is too much in a bad way. But like, I remember the first time I actually saw shooting stars when I was in Maine, and it was during like a meteor shower, and I was like on the dock on my back, like looking up. There was no, you know, light noise. You just could really see it. And for like my whole life before that, I had pretended to have seen shooting stars, you know?
You're always bragging about it.
No, but like, people would always be like, oh, did you see that? And I'd be like, I did. She's like, totally did not. It's like those, like, where you stare at the painting and you see a thing. I was like, totally didn't.
Oh, like but magic eye.
Yes, I will lie about it. I'm like, brain freeze, felt it. Totally turns out genetically, some people can't feel it. I can't feel brain freeze.
Really? Like when you eat ice cream? Even
You cannot feel it.
Wow.
I'm like, my mouth is cold. Is that what you guys mean? People are like, no, that's not at all what it is. And I cannot conceive of it.
I get brain freeze all the time.
I know. And I have been faking it this whole time.
I had no idea that was an option.
It's an option. Wow. So that's how I felt when like I was seeing shooting stars, or like when I thought I was seeing shooting stars. I was like, yeah, we all see them. And then the one time where I actually saw them during that meteor shower, it was actually like one of the most like soul shaking experiences in my life in like a good way.
Yeah.
Where if I could lay there and for like just a limited amount of time, have a window and see so many things, then like that means that it's possible to have a window and see so many things all the time. And that made me feel like so glad to be alive. Yeah. It's kind of the opposite of the sand feeling, even though it's still you are tiny and the world is big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a little bit how I felt when I looked at that first James Webb picture of the universe, where they were like, each one of those galaxy. Oh, you thought it was a star? Galaxy, motherfucker. Oh. That is, we are like one of a trillion in our galaxy. Each one of those is a galaxy. So
it really boggles the mind. Also, how do we even have like telescopic photographic technology to be able, that I also don't understand.
Just
that
millions and millions of geniuses like building on there. That it is like cool. Like it's, like science, the stuff that we can do with science like is pretty impressive, and we tend to write out like the wonder at like, that's amazing that they built that, that like just all these geniuses like working together without like they're not James Webb, you know, but they're like still putting in all the work to put this thing out there so we can get this picture so that we can realize we don't know shit, which is pretty wild, but
so crazy.
I appreciate them.
Most beautiful way.
Yeah. But yeah, now because children do ask these questions, like my kids are constantly like, so what is after the universe? Like what go, like you're, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the last star and then what? And I'm just like, I don't fucking know. But at least I had, when they were like, what started the universe? I could be like, Big Bang. Yeah, I know that one, you know, like, and now we don't even know that.
Oh my God.
You got nothing.
I got nothing for, it's always when they're taking a shit. I think like there's something with the vagal nerve, like there's the digestive nerve system that is like, that it's like relaxation and digestion and like all those things are tied together. And it's like, the second my kids sit down on the toilet, they become like the biggest stoners in the world. They're just like, what is it all mean, though? I'm just like, what?
Best not to think about it.
Yeah. Best not to, yeah, exactly. Have you ever, Dad, have you ever looked at the sand on the beach and been like...
You're like, no, I'm going to send you over to Auntie Sophia's house. She's been fucking her life up over this for a long time. You talk to her.
Exactly. Actually, the thing they say about the beach is that it's all parrot shit. Parrot fish shit.
Parrot fish shit?
That's what sand is. The thing that breaks up sand is like parrot fish eating rocks and shitting out. I mean, it's not the only thing, but it is often like white sand is parrot fish shit.
What's a
parrot? That seems like exactly what a Jax kid would say.
Yeah, I know. That's it does like sound like something that was made up by a 6-year-old, but
no, it just sounds like Jack O'Brien's kids. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, right.
You're like, surprise. These are just strangers.
I didn't know parrotfish were a thing, but now that I'm looking at one, I'm like, oh, they have a little beak.
They have a little beak and they kind of have little human teeth. I saw one in an aquarium and I was like, you are a fucking nightmare, my guy.
Fish have teeth in a way that should not be okay.
Yeah, I'm not okay with it.
Like, if you require a night guard, you can't be a fish.
Yeah, they do wear night guards.
Like, that's fucked up. I have a night guard. No. I can't be looking at my teeth pattern in your face if you're a fish. Like, that's not okay.
Sorry, we got to cut this short. I've got to take my parrot fish to the orthodontist to get his braces tightened. His teeth are all jacked up. Yeah. But anyways, the report concludes, sleep tight, motherfuckers, at the end. It doesn't, but it might as well. So that's that. I take it as like, cool, more mystery in the universe. Mm. So let's me so tiny. That's what I take away.
I love it.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. And all right, it's that time to get a Titanic story in while we have Caitlin Durante, aka Lauren D. Titanic.
So badly want this song to swell up behind this segment. I know it's illegal, but maybe I just gently sing it?
This is beautiful.
Thanks.
All right. There it is. The dancing, by the way.
Yeah, really
listeners,
impressive.
Really good stuff from Auntie Sophia. All right. The big seller at Heritage Auction's recent Treasures from Planet Hollywood event was the door that saved the life of Kate Winslet, Kate Winslet's character, Rose, on Titanic. And, you know, that wasn't heavy enough to hold Jack Dawson out of the freezing water.
Yeah. Don't even get me started on this. It's not about size. It's not about there was enough space. Yes, but it's about buoyancy. It wasn't buoyant enough.
Yes, exactly.
And so I'm tired of everyone screaming about it.
And also,
they would have frozen because they would have been submerged in the cold water regardless.
Exactly. They both would have died.
The weight is so much for that.
She barely made it out. Anyways, she barely made it out, like, as it is. You think with his cold ass, like, up there with her, that it would have been fine?
I think people would have been happy if she just, like, ended up, like, eating his, like, body on that door as it got later. I'm like, just let him die.
Chewing on his ass. His marbled ass. Also, like...
And then she would have got brain freeze.
Come on, Jack. You were a bit of fun, okay?
Not you, though.
She wasn't going to leave her life behind for you. Come on, Jack. Yeah. What'd you think this... What if she had just turned, like, cold as Kevin Spacey and was just like, what do you think this is, Jack? Obviously, this is... You can't get on this with me.
What are you referencing?
I don't know either.
If she had just, like, been, like...
But Kevin Spacey in what?
Yeah, what movie?
I don't know. Just like I feel like sometimes he'll like give like a ice. Maybe I'm thinking of The Iceman Cometh.
The iciest thing is The Iceman
just the
Cometh.
The coldest hearted. I don't know. Yeah, I guess Kevin Spacey's not a cool reference.
Are you just thinking
anymore?
Of that Foreigner song? Is that what's happening right now?
Are you thinking of Mr. Freeze or whatever from Batman?
Yeah, I'm thinking
Batman.
Mr. Freeze. I just mean like cold-hearted and calculating and being yes, Agent Kuyan, you know, I don't know. He never says that in fucking Usual Suspects. It's a long day. But all right.
I think the coldest thing he does in that movie is just walk away.
Yeah, but he does it so coldly.
It's so fucking cold.
Ice in his veins. All right. So it sold for $718,750, more than Indiana Jones's whip, Jack Nicholson's axe from The Shining. But I don't know. Some of these price tags are making me wonder, like, if any of... You remember, like, when the NFTs first came out and they were like, this art just sold for, like, this art full of JPEGs just sold for $3 million. And then I feel like a lot of it...
Our most expensive ape is worth $85 million.
Like, Bill Murray's Red Rose bowling ball from Kingpin sold for $350,000.
Whoa.
And the axe from The Shining only sold for $125,000. That feels like things are off there.
Well, also, okay, the door... First of all, where do you put that? How do you display it? It's huge. And if someone comes over, they're like, what's this random hunk of wood in your house? I don't think a lot of people would recognize it for what it is.
No, it's not iconic. Like, it's just a shape.
At least not visually.
That she's on in the water. Yeah. It's super iconic in terms of, like, the plot, like, architecture. It's very important. But it's not a thing that I could pick out of a lineup.
You want to be able to explain it to other people for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's what you're buying, a conversation that would never happen otherwise. Say, chap, what is that?
What's that?
For that in for the rest of your life. And that's what you want, I guess.
Hey, say, chapo, what's that random piece of shit leaning up against your wall there?
Is that firewood that you need to chop up? Because that's what it looks like. Whoever bought it needs a swimming pool or some kind of pool, and then it should just float in the pool. and then they should just get like dummies of the Titanic characters and position them. That's what I would do if I bought it. And I did buy it. And I'm
classy.
The person who spent this $718,000.
Purchased under an alias of Lauren D. Titanic.
But honestly, that pool idea is kind of the best idea I've ever heard for buying a piece of memorabilia and like letting it serve, if you will.
Yes.
Like that door will be serving cunt in that pool. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It's just how you're floating, trying to get reactions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, you could have people be like, okay, can you get two people on here? You know?
Like, well, do you remember a few years ago, James Cameron did, he like hired scientists, the same ones who just told us probably that the world doesn't make sense and we know we won't understand the universe ever.
He took a hired break like from professionals. Discovering black energy, dark energy.
Yeah, dark energy.
Yeah.
And he hired people to conduct, to like recreate that, because he was so sick of people being like, Rose should have scooched over and there was room on the door and she was so selfish, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, that is not true. So he hired people and proved that the buoyancy was not there.
Yeah.
So that was like a newsworthy story a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I also couldn't believe it because I'm like, if I had James Cameron, like, fuck off money, I'm out here in the streets hiring scientists to prove something from a door in a movie I made like 20 plus years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what made me be like, he doesn't have a family or friends that love him. Like, why would you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you were having a good life, you would just think that's hilarious.
Yeah, and just move on. But he's like, no, I have to prove it.
Yeah. At least he would have made an effort to, like, get it. But then maybe it's not heroic if he tries, if, like, he keeps clambering up onto the door. And it's like, she's like, no, you're fucking sinking it. Like, you keep, you know, so they just
accept
like,
it.
Yeah, he just resigned to his fate. Mm-hmm. You could also, so apparently it's part of a door frame. Which, again, goes to indicate that everybody thinks it's a door and it's part of a door frame should suggest that, like, nobody knows what the fuck this thing looks like at all and might not be worth your $700,000. But I guess you could use it as part of a door frame. Like, that would be, and just be like, that door frame you just walked through? Look at you, so dumb. You don't even know. She doesn't even know.
You're part of a legend now.
Yeah. You've just walked through the doorframe that saved Rose's life, my dear.
Right. It's not even a perfect rectangle. Yeah, it's just like, it's like a chunk of a wall.
It's a chunk. Yeah. It's like
it's shaped more like a Crispix than a
exactly
than a rectangle.
It's debris.
And it's no milk gusher, am I right, Jeff?
No milk gusher. It's not giving me any milk gushing. Mm-mm. I'll tell you what. Yeah. There is a story about a guy who, I think it was like a Texas oil billionaire, who bought the window that Lee Harvey Oswald shot Kennedy through and like put it up in his house, like just had it installed in his house. He's like, let's show them what happens to Democrats when they come to Texas. But
so, let's show them what happens to people that love theater around here.
But so that's where I got the idea for of the putting the door, using the door frame as a door frame, you know,
wild.
From that genius. Anyways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Well, congratulations, Caitlin. Anyway.
Congratulations to Lauren
Thank
D.
You.
Titanic.
Enjoy that door chunk. Door chunk.
I really will. Thank you so much. I have big plans.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Zeitgeist, as always, Caitlin.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me.
Where can people find you and follow you and all that good stuff?
You can follow me on, I'm mostly on Instagram these days at Caitlin Durante, and kind of barely there. And my shows, again, are on my website. I'm doing stand-up in various European cities. And then there's also the Bechdelcast Shrek-tanic tour. We are doing shows on either Shrek or Titanic in cities such as London, Oxford, Manchester, Edinburgh, and Dublin. And all of that information is either on the Bechdelcast link tree or my website. So check out all of that stuff.
CaitlinDurante.com/shows.
That's right. And Linktree/Bechdelcast.
Bang. And is there a work of media or a tweet that you've been enjoying?
I just saw the movie Problemista, starring written and directed by Julio Torres, and I really liked it. So I would recommend people watch it if they can.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. Is it still in theaters?
If it's at the AMC Glendale freaking Americana.
Glendale. Amazing. Sophia, where can people find you? Is there a work media you've been enjoying?
People can find me as always at the Sophia, S-O-F-I-Y-A, on Twitter and Instagram. I'm not posting very much either, but, you know, I will be. I don't know. That sounded vaguely threatening for no reason. And a work of media I've been enjoying lately. This is by Matt Margolis at It's Matt's Law. You'll hear from my lawyer. Boring, overplayed, probably tax attorney. Trish is going to be fucking livid. Intimidating. Who is Trish? What have we done?
That's right. Trish is going to hear about this. She's fucking... Just wait.
Just wait.
Let's see. McDad Stuff tweeted, please stop telling me to lift with my legs. My legs are also not strong. And Bleak Sigils Keep tweeted, imagine, if you will, a town where the boys are back. It's just, you know, one of the great first sentences of a novel. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin Connor, is there a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep the Parisian vibes going with this track called Je ne bois pas beaucoup, which means I don't drink much. And this is a very danceably jazzy track that's got a good cleaning your house type of energy, as Miles likes to say. I don't know anything about the musicians, but they created this nice groove and they just stay in the pocket with some flourishes here and there. But yeah, this is Je ne bois pas beaucoup by Léa Toupa-Duzer, and you can find that in the footnotes.
Footnotes?
Très joli.
I didn't know you were fluent in French. Oh my God.
Just barely.
This episode's going to get flagged for being French. We're going to put it in the French language section. The okay, Daily Zeitgeist is a... au revoir. Oui, oui.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.